The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. I wrote in the bulletin article this weekend that compared to the other solemnities and big liturgical feasts that we celebrate in the church, the solemnity of Christ the King is a pretty recent solemnity that was universally instituted. It was formally introduced to the church in the liturgy on December 11, 1925. But the concept of God as King is as old as the Old Testament. The image of God as King is all over the place, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, as Jesus spoke of the Father as the sovereign of all creation. So the question that we can ask ourselves is, what was happening in 1925 that Pope Pius XI decided to institute this solemnity for the universal church? In 1925, the world, especially Europe, was still suffering from the effects of the World War I. World War I ended in 1918. Was one of the most deadly wars. 9 million soldiers died, and 21 million were wounded. And the people were still experiencing this trauma. People were hopeless. People were questioning, where was God in all of this? But also, as they were seeing the developments in the civil society, in the governments during that time in Europe, people were getting tense because of what they were seeing. Mussolini just marched in Rome to form a fascist government during that time. Stalin was the Soviet dictator. And the name Adolf Hitler started to resonate as well. So people were like, are we gonna be in a sort of a war again? We just finished a horrific one. And people were getting really hopeless. And the rise of this, dictators, especially presenting themselves as the ultimate authority, the church needed to remind the people and the world that there's only one sovereign king, that has authority not just over a specific land, but authority over creation and of the universe. Thus, the proclamation of the solemnity of Christ the King, reminding us that Christ's authority extends to all creation. But also, in the other side of the world, in Mexico, in 1924, the government waged a vicious war against the Catholic Church in 1924. Priests were jailed and persecuted and also killed. And as a response to this, there was a movement called the Cristero Movement, from the word Cristo, Cristero Movement. And their slogan was reminding the government during that time in Mexico that ultimately you're not the one in control, it is Christ. Thus, their slogan was Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. And foremost of that movement was Father Miguel Pro, who was also executed because of his promotion of the kingship of Jesus Christ. So all of this were happening when the church felt through Pope Pius XI that we need to remind who is ultimately in charge. The question that we can ask ourselves is, as we celebrate this solemnity of Christ the King, who truly reigns in my life? Who truly reigns in my life? Whose kingdom do I belong to? And where does God want to reign? You know, the reign of God, it's so interesting in the gospel today, as Pilate was interrogating him, Pilate was really getting impatient. It's like, you say that you're a king, but where is your kingdom? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not here. It's like, okay, but you say that you're a king. He was getting impatient. Because the kingdom of God, as what Jesus ultimately explains to us, in as much as the fulfillment of the kingdom of God is in the future, what does he say? The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not just within us, it is also among us. Among us, why? Because when he said, when one or two are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. And when there is God, the kingdom, his kingdom reigns as well. But the question is, you know, how do we know that God's kingdom truly reigns in my life? Well, God wants to reign first and foremost, well, not first and foremost, but in our hearts. Do I reflect through my own actions the values of the kingdom of God? And the preface for today's solemnity, it spells to us what this kingdom of God like. You will hear this in a few moments as we continue at Mass. He says, that he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom. An eternal kingdom. What does it mean? What does the word eternal mean? Meaning it has no end. It's truly amazing that all the other kingdoms, all the other reigns, all the other powerful men and women of the time that seems to see their power as forever, where are they now? He presents a universal kingdom. Universality means no one is excluded from this kingdom. No one is excluded. In virtue of being created in the image and likeness of God, especially in virtue of our own baptism, everyone is called to that kingdom. A kingdom of truth and life. A kingdom of truth and life. If I want to know if I'm really in this kingdom, I need to ask myself, what are the truths that I subscribe to? Do they reflect the truths of the kingdom of God? Do I promote life, most especially? He said, a kingdom of truth and life. You know, there is so much misinformation out there that people readily subscribe to. So much at the expense of the gospel, at the expense of the truth. A kingdom of holiness and grace. What does it mean to be part of the kingdom of holiness and grace? What is sin? You know, sin, the word sin in Hebrew is hata, which means to miss the mark. You know, looking at the choices that I have, that I do, that I make in my life right now, the lifestyle that I embrace, are they in consonance with the plan of God for me? In a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. These are the qualities or the symptoms or the conditions of the kingdom of God. And asking myself, you know, can I sincerely and honestly say that I am part of this kingdom? There are also other kingdoms out there that continues to lure us, that continue to invite us, and most of them are so easy. We don't have to exert too much effort. And they are very much appealing to the senses. You know, it satisfies the passions, the cravings of the senses. The kingdom of lust, the kingdom of money, excessive need for money, for power, for control, whatever it is. You know, there are so many little kingdoms that continue to invite us. Oh, you know, you don't have to work too hard in order to be part of this kingdom. Why be in the kingdom of God when there is so much expected of you? But it reminds us in the second reading today of what the kingdom of God is. He said in the second reading today, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is to come and who was and who is to come, the Almighty God. If we allow ourselves to be part of this kingdom and truly celebrate our belongingness to this kingdom, we will inherit the same eternity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit enjoys. I was reading a commentary on this, more like a reflection, and the author says that the kingdom of God is a space as well, a space. What does it mean? That it exists in our homes, whenever there is love, whenever there's care, whenever there's forgiveness. It exists in every region and city when human life is valued according to the plan of God. It also exists in time. And what do we mean by that? That it happens when we take care of one another, especially of the vulnerable. It happens when we allow ourselves to be transformed by our experience of the suffering of other people. The kingdom of God is there. And also, he said that the kingdom of God is a condition. And when we say a condition, just like when you say that we have some health condition, there are certain symptoms. And what are those symptoms? The one that was spelled out to us in the preface today: love, justice, and peace. But also, as what I mentioned last time, that the kingdom of God, if the kingdom of God is within us, how do we say that it is truly in us? As what Saint Irenaeus again said powerfully, that the kingdom of God is man fully alive. You know, when you are fully alive as a person, that the kingdom of God is within you. You know, are you fully alive right now? You know, I'm not just talking about not experiencing any physical ailments. You know, my back has been hurting this morning. But it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is not in my life. You know, but there are actually people who are physically frail, but they are more alive than those who are in the gym. Why is that? Because being alive truly means being in the state of grace, being reconciled with God. There are people who experience a lot of physical pain, but their hearts and their spirits are more alive and rejuvenated as ever. And that is what Saint Irenaeus said, that the kingdom of God is there when man is fully alive, when we are in the state of grace, when we are reconciled with God and with one another. We don't have to look too far for the kingdom of God. God says, it is within you. And I've said this in my homily last week, that if we can't experience the kingdom of God right here, right now, it's probably hard to expect the kingdom of God later on. If we can't experience the kingdom of God among us, and can identify His kingdom in our lives right now, it would be hard to identify the kingdom, experience the kingdom. Because why is that? Because heaven begins here. Heaven is not just something that we wait to happen, but rather the life of God, the life of grace, the life with the Trinity begins right here. I was sharing in my homily last week in the morning masses that there was a person who talked with me actually after mass, and she had been reading some apocalyptic predictions, and she was so worried because she said, Father, I want you to bless these things. And I said, what are you going to do with this? There was holy water. There was water that needs to be holy, and a candle, there was some oil as well, and also some food, packed food. And I said, where did you get all of this? And I was like, oh, this was suggested by what I've read in one of the diaries of a priest. And I was like, you don't look for the kingdom of God in the end. The kingdom of God is right within you. And I said, God will not gonna ask you at the end, okay, I won't gonna name her name. I mean, I actually asked her last time. I said, can I share this experience with the community? Then she said yes. So I shared it last Sunday. And I told her, I said, you know, God will not gonna ask you at the end of the day, where is your candle? Where is your oil? Where is your, you know, packed food or whatever? The preparation for the ultimate realization of the kingdom of God is internal, is heart. So I asked her, when was the last time you were in confession? And she said, oh, Father, it's been like more than a year. I said, well, if the kingdom of God will gonna come right now, I mean fulfill the final coming of the kingdom of God is today, those things that you're asking me to bless will not gonna do you any good. I can hear your confession right now. And she went to confession. The kingdom of God is within you, is among us. And if we experience it right now, we're so excited to finally experience the fulfillment of it in the end. I look forward for the fulfillment of God's kingdom. I don't know what's going to happen. But we don't have to wait to experience it. It's within you and it's among us. And if you're excited and can identify those moments that God breaks open in a special way, we will surely get excited for the ultimate realization and fulfillment of that kingdom.